Romans chapter 6 will be here the rest of the morning as we study God's word. Romans chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for us, Lord. It was our sins that put him on the cross. Lord, we thank you that you died so that we would not have to. And Lord, we celebrate today on Easter Sunday your resurrection. God, you didn't stay in the tomb. You're alive. You're risen. Lord, just as we died in you, we can live in you, Lord. We too can have resurrection life. Thank you, Father, for what you have done by sending your son. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to understand what union with you is, Lord, and how we too can experience the resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Beautiful representation of what Jesus has done for us. In John chapter 11, we find out that there's a character named Lazarus. Lazarus has two sisters that he lives with, Mary and Martha. And Jesus, with his disciples, is some distance away. And Mary and Martha send word to Jesus and say, "The one you love is very sick. Lazarus is very sick." And Jesus hears the word and he turns to his disciples and he says, "This sickness will not end in death. No, for the glory of God will be in it, because he will glorify his son through it." And then inexplicably, it says he stayed two more days where he was. Instead of rushing to his friend, the one whom he loved, rushing to his bedside, he stayed there for two more days. After 2 days had passed, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea and let's go to Lazarus, for he is dead." It says as he returned, they found out that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Mary and Martha heard that Jesus was on his way, and so Mary stayed home and Martha went running after him and met him and said, "Jesus, if only you would have been here, my brother would still be alive." We find ourselves in her place so often. If only you would have been here. If only you would have healed. If only you would have come earlier. But Martha says, "I know that whatever you ask, even now, of the Father, he will hear and he will grant." So Jesus says to Martha, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said, "Yes, of course, I know that. He will rise again in the resurrection in the last day." And this is Jesus' reply to Martha. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection." In other words, you don't have to wait for the last day. I cause resurrection, and more than I cause it, I am resurrection. Resurrection is not an event, it is a person. And Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life that we now live. "He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Then Jesus asks Martha, do you believe this? And that is the question centuries later to us, to me, to you. Do you believe this? Do you believe that Jesus came to die for you? Do you believe that he rose again? Do you believe that he is not just an event, he's a person? He is the resurrection. He is the life. He can bring life. The resurrection is not just life. Resurrection is transformation life. It's going from death to life. Are you still in your Bibles? Romans chapter 6. I want to read verse 4 again. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Verse 5, if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. This introduces one of the most important doctrines, one of the most important teachings in all of Scripture, and that is union with Christ. That is the greatest gift we could have ever received, is to be united with Christ. Union. To be in Christ. This is something that's very hard to wrap our minds around. We can understand following Jesus, just as we could follow somebody else. I could follow Sam. If Sam is walking this way, I can follow him. We can wrap our minds around that. We can even wrap our minds around we're under Christ, that his authority, that he reigns, and we are subject to him. We can understand being inspired by Jesus. Jesus' life inspires us. We want to be like him. We want to do the things that he did, and he promised that we would do greater things than he did. But what is it to be in Christ? It sounds like it's a location, like it's a place. Although we know Jesus very much is a person. One way to explain it is perhaps like this, that I'm at an airport about to board a flight. The flight is going to California, and that's where I wish to go. I want to go to California. The plane's going to California. Now, to get to California, I guess maybe I could follow the plane, but that'd be kind of confusing, and I'd have to get something else to follow the plane. I could be under the plane, but I would last only for a couple of minutes, a couple seconds perhaps. I could be inspired by the plane. When it takes off, I could whisper, I want to do that too someday. No, to get to California where I want to go, I have to be in the plane. Because, see, the plane, where the plane goes, I go. The plane's destiny is my destiny. So when I'm in Christ, what he has accomplished, what he has done, what he will do, is what I have accomplished, what I will do. Another way of looking at it would be, Jesus would be represented by this book, my Bible. And this piece of paper would be represented by us, and that what God has done, because he loved us so much, it's not just that Christ died, it's that we were placed in Christ Jesus through our faith in him. When we believe that he is the Son of God, when we believe that he rose again, when we believe it in our hearts and confess it with our mouths, Scripture says we are saved. And so it's the same as we're the piece of paper. Jesus is the Bible. He places us in the Bible, in Jesus. And so now, whatever this book does, the paper does. If I drop it, it goes together. And so, likewise, union with Christ is that we are in Christ Jesus. He died, therefore we died. He rose, therefore we rose. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 through 17 says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all. Jesus died for all. See, Scripture says the wages of sin is death. That death is the payment for our sins. And he died for all. And therefore all died because we were in him. And he died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's our posture, that's our placement, that's our identity, that is our locale, that we are in Christ. He is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Wonderful scripture, many of us have it memorized, and we usually like to put the emphasis on new creation. It's exciting, isn't it, to see a new creation? This is springtime, and you see all kinds of plants and flowers blooming. And we see Christ blooming in so many people's lives. We see where somebody stepped from death and into life. And glory to God, there is a new creation. But it starts first with putting the emphasis in Christ. Because we are only a new creation because now we are a part of Christ. It's important. Otherwise, I could achieve being a new creation by the things that I do. It's not the things that I do that makes me a new creation. It's the person that I'm in. The Message paraphrase says verse 15 like this. He included everyone in his death so everyone could be included in his life. It's important. We don't leave Jesus on the cross. He's resurrected. We don't leave ourselves. Christ, does not leave us dead in our sins. He raises us to new life in him. So the union with Christ, first let's talk about death with Christ. Who likes to die? Raise your hand. Am I the only one? Yeah, we don't like to die. It's something we don't like to even think about. It's the greatest fear of man is to die, but Jesus came to take the sting out of death. But we have death in Christ. We died to our sins because Christ died carrying all of our sins. Past tense, present tense, we continue to die to the inclinations of sin. Chapter 6, verse 6 of Romans. For we know that our old self was crucified with him. This can be very confusing. Let me try to assist. Our old self is what we were in. Very important. Not what's in us, but what we were in. Our old self is that sin nature that came from Adam. Adam and Eve first sinned in the Garden of Eden. Most of us know the story. They were disobedient to what God told them. And God clearly said, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, like I told you not to, you shall surely die. Death was ushered in. The wages of sin is death. And so our old self, when we were born, I have a 9-month-old baby. She's sweet, but she was born into sin. How can you say that? Because when she wants something, she wants it. And she'll hit. She'll scream, she'll do whatever she takes to get it. Likewise, we are like that. We are born into sin. It is our old self, something that we used to be in. But that was crucified on the cross. Verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be done away with. The body of sin is what is still in us. We still have an inclination to sin. Do you believe that? Do you experience that? Now, Christ died for our sins, absolutely, but we still have that sin that we have to deal with. Give you an example. Because I'm human, because you're human, you get hungry, right? We all get hungry. Okay, that is a very natural inclination. It's one that God put there for us to sustain ourselves, for us to have energy to survive. But if we give in to those desires in our body, we become a glutton. God created sexual union or physical union with our husband or with our wife to be godly. But if we give in to those inclinations, let them master us, then we have sexual immorality. You see where I'm going? It's within our bodies. Now, the Gnostics would believe that that means all of flesh is evil. That's not what God is saying. It's saying left to ourselves, outside of God's influence, outside of being in Christ, we will sin. And that is the body of sin. That it might be done away with or to be nullified. He died so that our sins would be nullified. I want you to know that. This morning, that is part of the good news. Not just he died for our sins, but he died so that our sins would die as well. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Slaves to sin is what we were mastered by. He took that away as well. It no longer is our slave. If you remember Adam and Eve again, when God said, "What happened? Where are you?" One of the things that they did was Adam said, "That woman that you gave me caused me to sin." And then Eve, the woman, said, basically, "The devil made me do it. The serpent made me do it." And in reality, she was right, because when sin is ushered in, we are mastered by it outside of Jesus. Let's continue to read. Verse 8. "Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him." That's the great truth of Easter Sunday morning. Verse 9. "For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him." How many have heard the term gospel before? Gospel means good news. Big fancy biblical word means good news. The bad news is we're all sinners. We all deserve to die. That's the bad news. The good news can be summed up in three parts, and I want to go over it this morning. First of all, Jesus takes away the penalty of sin because we died in Christ. He took our sins. He died that spiritual death. Therefore, if we believe in him, we'll never die spiritually. That's good news, don't you think? Verse 10, "The death he died, the death that Jesus died, he died to sin once for all, but the life he lives to God." Remember the passage from Corinthians that we read? It says, "I no longer live to myself, I live to God." Jesus, it says here that the life he lives to God. The other good news is that Jesus takes away the separation caused by sin. Isaiah 59:2 says that our iniquities have separated us from God, that our sins have hidden his face to where he cannot hear us. That is sobering. But Jesus took that separation away. Now we can live in restored relationship with God the Father. We can know him. We can be known by him. Verse 11, "In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires." This is the part that usually gets left off, and we have a bunch of defeated Christians. Jesus takes away the power of sin. He takes that power away. We no longer have to succumb to it. We no longer have to be mastered by it. We can say no. We will be tempted, but it no longer has to control us. The power is broken. Church, it's not just he took the penalty away, we have eternal life. It's here and now. Do you remember John chapter 11 when Jesus is talking to Martha, and she says, "I believe my brother will be raised again in the last day at the resurrection." And Jesus says, no. "I am the resurrection and the life." It's not just about eternity, it's about eternity present as well. And in eternity present, we can have the power of Jesus Christ living within us, and it gives us power over sin. It takes it away. We live resurrection in Jesus. Transformed life. It's not just breathing life. It's transformed, abundant life that we have in Jesus. Amen. Life with Christ. So we're in union with him. We died with him. And we continue to die to sin. It sometimes is very hard to do. It's painful, just as all death is. And also, we live with him. We experience his power. We experience his great joy. If we're not experiencing that as Christ followers or Christians, then something might be wrong with our relationship. Philippians 3:10 says this. I'd like to ask for the worship team to come back up. The Apostle Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ. Show of hands, if you're brave enough, how many people in your heart of hearts says, man, I really want to get closer to God. Man, I just really want to get closer to God. Me too. By the way, my hand wasn't just to show you how to do it. I do as well. Let me ask you something. Can you get any closer than being in Christ? So really what we need to do is we have to know Christ. We have to understand our placement. We have to understand what is already ours. I understand it's a figure of speech that you feel far away, but I want you to know the great truth that you're not. If you have faith in Christ, then God has placed you in Christ. Therefore, when he died, you died. When he lives, you and I live. And Paul, his great yearning of his heart is, I want to know Christ. I want to know him better. I want to know him deeper. I want to understand what I have in Christ and the power of his resurrection. It wasn't just the actual power that lifted him from death. It was the virtue that came from that resurrection life. Paul wants to know that. I want to know Christ more, and I want to know his virtues. I want to know how those virtues can be mine. And the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. We don't like to do that. Becoming like him in his death. Jesus told his disciples, if you want to be my disciple, you must pick up your cross daily and follow me. What's he talking about? He's saying, if you believe in me, you are placed in me by the Father. And therefore, you will share in my sufferings. You will share in my death. Not just in the past, what I've done for you on the cross, but what I continue to do by breaking the power of sin in our lives. Becoming like him. Does that sound good? Does that sound like something you want? Does it sound like something I want? Yes, absolutely. I want to end with a very descriptive scripture. It gives us directions, very directive. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's really that easy. It's a free gift. God says, I want you to have union with my son. I want you to be in him. I want you to be placed securely in him, where the power of sin is broken, where the penalty of sin is broken, where the separation caused by sin is lifted. I want you to be there. And this is what you need to believe, that he's Lord, which means he's king, he's chief in your life and in my life. And you need to believe that he rose again, that he died for your sins, but he's alive. And that you too can have that resurrection, transformational life in him. He goes on to say in verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. You are in right standing with God. And it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. I want to lead us in a prayer, and I'd like for you to repeat after me, everybody in the building. Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us Jesus. You came to earth to be like us, wearing the same flesh that we wear, so that we could relate to you, so that we could see your sinless life, so that you could die as a spotless lamb, so that we would not have to. Thank you that if we have faith in your Son, you place us in Jesus. Thank you for union with Christ. Lord, we want to die with Christ. And we want to live with Christ. I want to serve you. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. And know the sufferings that you went through. And die to sin with you. In Jesus' name we pray.